Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus said of his followers, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." And then he said of himself, "Don't think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I haven't come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." This is our text. Here in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is basically answering two questions for those who are following him. Two questions that are really important and significant that we all ought to have. The first question he addresses is the question of, who are we? And the second question is the question, who is Jesus? Jesus unveils for us, his followers, who they are, and then he reveals who he is. You've already heard it a couple of times, but worth hearing it again. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And he is the one who fulfills God's law. He is the righteousness of God for all of us. We'll start with who we are. Salt of the earth and light of the world, which, if you stop to think about it for a minute, is an absolutely astonishing thing. Especially that language of being light of the world, because you might recall that Jesus in John chapter 8 says of himself, "I am the light of the world." And yet here he says of us, his followers, "You are the light of the world." Salt and light. What is it that salt does? Its use that's so significant in our world, though perhaps less noticed by us in days of refrigeration and market baskets and grocery stores. Salt is a preservative. It keeps things from spoiling. It also is a flavoring and draws out the flavor that is naturally there. Our Lord describes his people as salt because we have that effect on the world of preserving and of flavoring. If you think of the world as we know it now, after the fall, the Garden of Eden itself was cursed. God cursed the ground so that we had to work by the sweat of our brow and our labor so that it would bear fruit. Life was changed. If you go back to Genesis chapter 4, you can see everything unraveling and falling apart. Brother against brother, sometimes to death. Human relationships fractured, people scattered across the world, false beliefs and darkness reigning. And yet even ever since the fall into sin, God has offered his people a way to live, a different way to live. He has filled their minds with a vision of how life was in the original creation, and he offered his people, he offers us forgiveness of sin and hope for the future. He kept as a remnant his people who were to be that salt of the earth and that light to the world. The line of promise. The people who followed Adam and Eve, their son Seth, who believed God's promises and who held those promises out to the world. The people described in the book of Genesis who called upon the name of the Lord, relying not on their own strength, their own abilities, but relying on the one who created them and the one who promised the coming Redeemer. Those were the people who were salt of the earth and light of the world by being those who would proclaim the mercy and loving kindness of God. What was God's mission for his people? But to be a place of refuge for the weary, a place of comfort for the suffering, a place of justice for the defenseless and the poor, That's what God's people were always meant to be in this fallen world. And this is what Jesus declares his followers to be in his Sermon on the Mount. You are the salt of the earth. Through you, God is preserving the good of his creation, renewing the things that are broken, flavoring the world with forgiveness and with life. Light is equally important. In the beginning, when God created, God created the heavens and the earth, and you might remember the very next line says, darkness was over the face of the deep. And in that darkness, God said, let there be light. His light, the light of life and of joy and of hope. And Jesus declares here that his people are to bring and bear that same light into the world today. Although you might say our light is not a light that comes from us, but rather a light, his light, that travels through us. I think that it's astonishing here precisely because Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. He doesn't say you will be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, or you should be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. But he declares that we already are salt and light. The mission that he has given us is a mission that stretches beyond our own congregation, out into the world beyond. And it's not that we go out into the world seeking, how do I be salt? How do I be light? Jesus simply says, that's what you are. You are vital for this world because you are bringing Christ and his gifts to the world around you. You are sent by Jesus to bear witness to the truth, to forgive sins, to bring comfort to those who are in need, to defend those who are defenseless and poor, to stand up for the weak and the powerless. Our actions toward one another, the words by which we confess the faith, these things reveal the grace of God to the nations. And what is the point of what Jesus says? It's not to draw attention to ourselves, but rather that by our good works, the people around us would be inspired to give glory to the God of heaven. That they would know the one who made them and the one who sent his Son to redeem them. Jesus does give a warning here as well. The warning about what happens if salt loses its saltiness. Then it's absolutely good for nothing and simply needs to be thrown out. The warning that a light is great, but it doesn't do any good if you hide the light under a bushel basket, if it cannot be seen. A warning and a reminder to us to take our job and calling seriously. To believe what Jesus says, that we are salt and we are light. And to pray that he would work through us to preserve, flavor, and enlighten the world around us. Not because we are anything in ourselves, but because of who he is and what he has done. Indeed, Jesus says that this job of being salt and light is a calling that calls to mind the entire promises of God in the Old Testament. Why did God pick out the people of Israel, call him his own, declare them to be a holy people, chosen and royal before him? God called them that not because Israel was special in themselves, but so that they could be a light to the surrounding nations, so they could bear witness to this God who had so graciously created them and called them and promising through them the redemption of the world. This is the promise and the work that God was always about. And Jesus says that he is inviting us into this way of life, inviting us to be this new Israel, inviting us to live out what God has already spoken in the law and the prophets, but even more to share the life of the one who fulfills the law and the prophets. For this is what Jesus said he came to do. Do not think that I have come to abolish, to get rid of, to negate the law and the prophets, everything God said in the Old Testament. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Or you might say that Jesus declares that he is the one who has come to fill up what is written in the Old Testament. Everything that is said and proclaimed and promised there, Jesus himself is filling up and bringing to completion. He is the fulfillment of all that God has promised. The righteousness of God, the holiness that God desires, the purity that God seeks, they are all found in our Lord Jesus Christ. He came to fulfill the law and the prophets by living them out perfectly in his own life and by suffering the punishment and for the failure of living that out in the lives of others. Jesus is the fulfillment because his death covers all our sins and his life reveals all of God's graciousness for you. What do we need to know about ourselves but what Jesus has said? You are salt and you are light. And what we need to know about him is that he is the fulfillment of everything that God has promised and required in the Old Testament. That it is not our keeping of the law that will save us, but his keeping of the law. It is not our doing of what the prophets declare that will be our righteousness, but his doing of what the prophets declare that is our righteousness. Today and tomorrow and always. Wherever you are on your journey through life, and I know we cover the whole range of life, those who are looking at the fourth quarter of life or perhaps overtime, those who are in the third quarter headed toward the fourth, those who are at halftime and those who are early in life, wherever you might be, remember as you go through your life this week, this astonishing picture of what Jesus has declared. Remember who you are. You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. And you are these things because Jesus himself has declared it to be so, and Jesus himself has made it so by his own death and resurrection. He invites you to dwell on this amazing fact, and then to dwell most of all on him, on what he has done for you. On the graciousness that he has shown and continually shows to you. And then to bear that witness to the world. In whatever little corner you are in, it is not our job to save the world. It is not our job to make the world a perfect place. It is simply our job to be the salt and to be the light. In whatever little corners and spheres we find ourselves in this week, and the week after, and throughout all our days. Whether it's being salt and light in your own home, or in your school, or in your workplace, or in your neighborhood, or among your friends, bear witness to the one who has fulfilled all of Scripture for you and for them. Bear witness to the one who not only has created you, but who by his suffering, death, and resurrection has redeemed you to be his own, and who has placed you into this world to preserve it, to flavor it, and to bring his light into it. This is what Jesus declares upon the mountain. Who you are the salt, and you are the light, and who he is. The one who came to fulfill the law and the prophets, that he might give to us the righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. In Jesus' name, amen.